Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
He breaks down plays better than anyone.
I mean, this is like Shark Week now. And you know what Baker Mayfield is? He's chum. Look at these sharks. You think you're getting away from those four angry sharks? It's Shark Week. It's time to eat. Make the read. Urgency. That's the name of the game right here. Urgency. Now, on it. He's on it. Touchdown. Beautiful throw.
He's our 95.7 The Game NFL insider, Brian Baldinger.
And our main man, Brian Baldinger, presented by our proud partner, Golden State, serving the Bay Area for three generations. Building better starts with Golden State. When you succeed, we succeed. Visit GoldenStateLumber.com. Our main man, Baldy, back on the morning roast. He'll be here for an hour as we wrap up another NFL draft. The 2024 NFL draft is in the books. Now we await the schedules being released, and then it's on to training camp and OTAs and all that fun stuff here. Baldy, good morning, man. You look so good over the weekend, man. You were ready to roll. You didn't get any sleep. I know you didn't get any sleep, and you're ready to roll.
Sleep is overrated, Bon
Jovi. I agree.
I mean, you know, John Bon Jovi said, we'll sleep when we're dead.
Exactly.
Okay. I'm sorry. I mean, I'm just trying to give America what they want. You know, like, what happened to their draft? Did the team get better? Did they bomb? Did they blow it? Like, I'm just here to try to give whatever analysis I can get. You know, it's like this whole draft thing for me, honestly, and it's like this for any personnel person. Like, you study for a test. You know, you study for a test for 8 weeks, and then you get to take the test. And it's just fun. You feel like you know the answers. You know who these people are. You hear all these little anecdotes, these little stories, everything you listen to this weekend on the broadcast, and you get a chance to kind of spit it all out. It's fun.
No, it is a lot of fun here. So what do you think here with the Niners? They make their picks. They added a lot of speed on offense. I love this Renardo Green out of my Florida State Seminoles at corner. They drafted a linebacker to 7th round out of Florida State. So overall, when you look at the 49ers draft, how would you – if you – had a Niner fan walking down the street. They said, hey, Baldy, man, what do you think of the Niners draft? What would Baldy say?
I would say, first of all, you know, look, they have a great roster. So, you know, how many rookies can you draft that can come in and impact the roster? Like, we saw Hufanga a couple years ago, a fifth-round pick come in. He impacted it. Like, I think they got a chance with three or four of these players to really impact the roster. You know, I mean, I think Pearsall, like, I don't know what they're going to do with these receivers, you know, with Brandon, with Debo. We heard all the rumors all weekend. But you watch Ricky, like, I had him as my fifth best receiver in this draft. All right. When I watch him, I interviewed him a couple weeks ago on the NFL Network. And I just said to him, I'm like, dude, you're always open. like, what's the deal? Like, he runs these over routes in the SEC. Like, nobody's bumping him. Like, he's an elite tester. He catches everything. To me, he's just a bigger, faster Julian Edelman. Like, he can just rule the middle of the field. He's an amazing player. Great prospect. You know, Renardo Green, you watch him against Malik Nabers, you know, press man coverage. Like, he's got no fear going out there and just pressing guys. I mean, I believe that's a position of need for the 49ers. Pooney is a guy that, you know, played up his last year at Kansas. He looks, I don't know if he's a guard or a tackle. Maybe he could play both. But I think he's 6'5 and change. He looks big out there. When you watch him play, he looks like a big body that moves pretty decent. So, you know, he's got Polynesian power to him. Yeah. Like, I like him. And Garendo, look, they drafted a really fast back a couple years ago out of Louisiana. This was the fastest back in the draft. He didn't have a great career. He had a great last game against USC at Louisville in a bowl game where he exploded. And you're like, where was that the other 3 years? But he's, you know, he runs a 4.3 at 220 pounds. Like, and he catches the ball just fine. Now, Cowing can, guy played, I don't know, 50-something games. Like, he could do just about anything. I don't know what his role's going to be. But, yeah, I could see some contributions from this draft.
So I'm looking at Ricky Pearsall, and I'm envisioning what it will look like with Kyle Shanahan, you know, and obviously they've got Debo, they've got Ayuk, and I think most Niner fans are really happy that they didn't move off of those guys, and now you got the three of them together. I go back to the Super Bowl, and Bonte and I sit next to each other, and they went five wide, if you will, with CMC coming out of the backfield and lining up as a receiver over and over and over again. Is this one of those moves, not for down the line, moving off of Debo, whatever, is this because they saw something on film in the Detroit, in the Green Bay game, and in the Kansas City game that they needed to get separation and they needed a guy who could work the middle of the field? Is that what you think this pick represents?
I don't know about that, Joe. I don't think they're saying, "Oh, let's draft a missing piece."
Okay.
Where I don't believe that. I think this is a pick to keep this offense humming. Typically, when you draft a first round player, that isn't a need pick. If you keep Brandon Ayuk and Debo, if you keep those guys, it's not a need pick. But you're saying we're going to move on. We're going to move on from one of them, and we just draft a replacement. I mean, if that was Ayuk or Debo, that's what I would say to myself. Mm. They've drafted my replacement. Now, whether he can do that or not, nobody knows. But I think Pearsall and Ayuk might have crossed paths 1 year at Arizona State.
Yeah,
I'm not exactly sure. I think 1 year they were there together, so they know each other. But I would, if I was one of those guys, I'd say my replacement's in the building.
Mm. Can I follow up on that?
Mm. Yeah.
How does that work? Like, this is a run first team, right? And so now it's a contract year for one of the guys. Whether if they pay Ayuk, clearly he's here for a couple of years, and we'll kind of know that before the season starts. How does that dynamic play itself out in the locker room on a team where CMC's going to get his touches, and week to week it kind of oscillates as to who the next guy up is? So how does that play out?
Well, I think you'll see it within over the course of the year, and then by next year, you know, one guy is going to be here and one guy isn't going to be here. Right now, it should be highly competitive practices right now, because I think you're going to see the talent of Pearsall. I think everybody's going to see it. And so this question of how they move them around, can they find a space for all of them? It's just not going to be tolerant that guys are going to be crying for the ball. They're not getting touches. I mean, it's just the ball's going to get spread around, and it's going to go through McCaffrey. That's not going to change. So I'm anxious to see what that roster looks like Labor Day weekend, and if everybody that's been here is going to still be here.
Yeah, no, I think Danny Gray's on notice. I think Ronnie Bell's on notice. Chris Conley, that receiver room is deep, 11 deep as of now. We're probably going into the season with about 6, maybe 7. This Pearsall kid, I'm really excited for, because I think it is helping Brock Purdy and some speed to the offense. There's one knock I had on the offense, Baldy. Yeah, McCaffrey's quick, gets down the field. I think Ayuk is quick and fast. But just true burners. When you see the league, where the league is going, Baldy, with all the spacing here, and it seems like this Pearsall's going to eat up that space. He's got to play the easiest football. I equate it to basketball, right? You get a great player like Andrew Wiggins during that championship year, playing next to Steph and Clay and Draymond Green and Jordan Poole. So he played the easiest basketball you ever got to see. One-on-one basketball, free releases. Pearsall of this offense is going to see nothing but one-on-one. And from the tape that you posted and from all the other tape, he's going to eat one-on-one coverage up all day long, even as a rookie.
Well, the fact is, Bonte, you can't play in today's game if you can't defeat one-on-one coverage. I don't care who's up against you. You can't get on the field, because if you're not separating, unless you just have unusual size or tremendous, hands or whatever, like, your quarterback isn't giving you the ball. The one thing I think about, I mean, I'm looking at all these little option routes that Kyle loves to run. I mean, McCaffrey's awesome at it. Ayuk is awesome at it. I think Pearsall is going to be really good at this stuff. Like all this stuff underneath these whip routes and these stick nods and some of these like hesitation type things where you're just trying to separate as quickly as you can underneath and just test, you know, whatever coverage they're throwing at you, whether it's zone or man. Like, I just think he's going to eat that stuff up.
Is that the biggest thing that destroyed the Niners in the Super Bowl, the inability to beat man coverage or press coverage,
well,
sticky man coverage?
Threw a lot of that at them, yeah. Especially when they were, you know, pressuring him. And so it showed up quite a bit. I'm sure, you know, usually the last game that you play, regardless of Super Bowl or regular season, whatever, that's kind of your lasting memory of what your team is and what deficiencies you might have.
How's this guy fit with Purdy?
No, I don't think there's – I think there would be an instant love affair. I mean, I don't know how any quarterback couldn't love his game. Because he just – like, when you have to throw the ball over the middle of the field, and that's where Kyle loves to attack, you better have some tough people. Now, we have seen tremendous toughness from Debo, obviously, and from Brandon over the last 2 years. But you've got to be tough over the middle. And the quarterback can't worry – like, Brock is smart enough to know he's not going to hang you out to dry over the middle. But these balls are going, these dig routes are coming over the middle of the field at you. And they're layered throws. And this guy looks like he's got zero fear in the middle of the field. So there's going to be a trust there. But, I mean, this guy's got a good set of hands. And his short shuttle was a 4.05. I don't think there's anybody on the team that comes close to a 4.05 short shuttle. I mean, that's elite, elite. If you get to the low fours to high 3.95, like that 1/10 of a second in that range is about as good as anybody can do in this whole league.
We love speed. We love hearing this about Ricky Pearsall, the first-round pick for the 49ers. We're talking to Brian Baldinger, recapping the 2024 NFL draft for the San Francisco 49ers. I'm going to move to safety for a second, Baldy. Tell me a little bit about this Malik Mustafa kid.
Yeah.
Out of Wake Forest. Safety, got the C on his chest, was a captain on the team. And every highlight I saw from him, he's just cleaning up the mess. He's just cleaning up the trash. He's just knocking dudes away. I don't see an ounce of body fat. Who is this Malik Mustafa kid who's a safety out of Wake Forest?
Yeah, when he transferred from Richmond, I mean, when I watch him, he's just an aggressive tackler. He looks like he'd come out of the sky and blow you up. Like, he's coming full speed. There's no slowdown in his game. Like, he's coming to hit you. And, you know, he had 4 forced fumbles at Wake Forest. Like, he jars the ball loose, you know, and he jolts you. But, you know, he tested really, really well. Not the tallest guy, but he's thick. Right. And I just thought, you know, they got Hufanga in the 5th round. They're getting Mustafa in the 4th round. You can't – it's hard to keep safeties healthy in this business because of what they are asked to do and how physical you got to play. But they've had a long history of success of drafting safeties. And I think this guy is a chance. Like Tig Brown last year, I think he's a really good player. He got on the field last year when Hufanga got injured. And so, look, I think he's got a chance to get on the field. Everybody is, at some point during the game, you're playing 3 safeties. You know, maybe one guy in the box, 2 up high. Red zone, you're playing 3 safeties. Like, you need 3 on the field game day. At some point in whatever package you're playing. And if you can't tackle and you don't tackle well, you're going to get exposed.
Yeah, it feels like John Lynch, because he played safety at such a high level, feels like he has like a type back there. And rangy and hard-hitting and sure tackling seems to be that typecast.
I agree with you. I agree. And that's not uncommon, Joe. You know, a guy like John, you kind of look at the game through your lens. You know, and he was kind of a box safety, obviously, at Tampa. They had, I don't know, they led the league in defense 4 years in a row, Denver. You know, you kind of see the game, whether it's 1st and 10, okay, let's build that 8-man box. Let's shut down the run. You're the unblocked player. If you're the unblocked player, you have to make the tackle. Like, you're looking for those kind of attributes, and you're looking for those qualities. And I think John probably plugs in a tape of Wake Forest or you know, at Richmond when he was there as a freshman, and you're kind of looking for those kind of things. And it's hard to No, safeties don't get drafted in the first round. It's rare anymore. You get them, you start getting them like Newbin was a second-round pick of the Giants, in large part because he had 13 career interceptions there in Minnesota. But you're looking for ball skills. You're looking at guys that can jar it loose. You're looking for aggressive tackling. And I think, you know, that's once you start kind of separating him by those things, and then, you know, how many games did he play? How healthy did he stay? You know, all those kind of things. I think he had 24 starts at Wake Forest. You know, you're looking, you're kind of separating round by round by those qualities.
Yeah, from 2021, Shasky and Baldy, from 2021 to 2023, Mustafa played 35 games, recorded 175 tackles, 15 tackles for loss, 4 sacks, 3 picks, 20 PBUs, I mean, 4 forced fumbles, 2 fumble recoveries. So he did a little bit of everything. He was a stat sheet stuffer, no doubt about that. All right, linemen, because a lot of Niner fans, Baldy, why did they trade up for a tackle? Why did they trade up for a tackle? So you brought up Pooney, Polynesian Power. I'm going to break him down a little bit more. But what about the young man out of USC who also attended Washington State, Jared Kingston? What do you like about this guy? 6th-round pick out of 215 overall out of USC and Wazoo.
Well, you know, he started this year for USC. I thought he struggled at times. He played both right guard and right tackle. But, you know, he's got the necessary size, and he runs. Like, I think he was a 6th-round pick, not because of how he played this year. You can look at games where, you know, Latu beat him and different players beat him. But I think, you know, when you can run the way he ran a 5-flat 40. He had a good, you know, he tested really well, you know, at, you know, 6'4 and change, 300 plus pounds. So, like, I think he's a prospect. But I think Pooney is a guy. Like, I watched him play left tackle at Kansas this year. Like, who the hell is Kansas? But they started, you know, Jason Bean. Like, you could find the talent on that roster. And Pooney's a big part of it. And he transferred. He's one of those 6-year players.
Right.
He was at Central Missouri. He ended up playing up at Kansas when they started building the program. So you watch him in the Big 12, and you watch him. Like, he didn't give up a sack this year.
Yep.
Like, you could say, okay, well, who's the pass rushers of the Big 12? I don't know. But I think he can play guard. He can play tackle. And so he's a swing guy that can step in right now, compete for a guard spot, compete for a tackle spot. Like, I think he's got that ability to start this year, whether it's right guard, right tackle, or if he can't beat those guys out, he can, you know, dress on Sundays and be a swing guy to start right away. But, you know, he's got, like I said, he just looks big and powerful when he steps on the field.
Wow. Baldy, I'm looking at the Niners draft as a whole, and we're going to rat-a-tat-tat a bunch of stuff here, but a lot of fifth-year players, a lot of guys that played at multiple schools, and then I look around the NFL, it feels like everybody is taking production and experience now, and because of just the NIL, because of the transfer portal, if you are staying somewhere and not playing, you're almost like less likely to get drafted. Every single guy is playing at multiple schools because they want to get out on the field and have that production. And I don't think that that's 49er exclusive. Is that a big takeaway for you looking at this draft as a whole?
No doubt, Joe. I mean, everybody. I mean, you go through the, you know, just reading the bios and all these different players. They're all multiple schools. Guys that went from small schools to big schools, you see the jump. Everybody was looking for, you know, day one starters of the program. It used to be like you can still go back to Michigan and you can see Harbaugh, you know, you're an 18-year-old kid coming in and you're redshirted. All right, you live in a weight room, go to the training table, you know, get your school, and, you know, and then you start playing. Like, the red shirt thing is kind of over. There's some schools, yep, like Harbaugh was still doing it, and that's why 13 guys got drafted. But ultimately, Joe, I think this was an unusual year because this was the pandemic year. A lot of schools didn't play. Or they played limited, you know, schedules, so they got a free year. So you're getting these 5th- and 6th-year players this year. I don't think you're going to see that again. But I do think you're going to see guys transfer. You heard Saban say the other day on Quinyon Mitchell, you know, there he is, you know, yep, at Toledo, and he's like, he gets in the transfer portal, right, he's going to start for me at Alabama.
Yep.
Like, he has that type of talent. Philadelphia saw that. Well, you know, he was loyal. He's one of the few guys that said, Toledo was loyal to me when nobody, right, wanted to, you know, recruit me. I'm staying at Toledo. And he blew Nick Saban off. But, like, you know, most guys would take that opportunity to go, you know, to go play for Nick, but that was an unusual guy. But I think this is just one of those years. Like, it's just an outlier year where we saw a lot of 23 and 24-year-old players, mm-hmm, you know, finishing their careers.
Brian Baldinger here on the Morning Roast on 95.7 The Game. Now I'm looking around the NFC West. I'm not gonna lie to you, Baldy. I loved what Arizona did. I really like what the Rams did. Seattle's up there brewing.
Blake Corum, this division, the Rams.
I mean, Florida, they take my two guys out of Florida State right there on the defensive line, the LA Rams. I'm like, damn, okay, here we go again. They're preparing for the Niners in that run game. They bring in Blake Corum. But Arizona, are we sleeping on the Cardinals here? Let's start with them because they're the laughing stock of the league the last couple years. They bring back Kyler last year. They trade away Hollywood Brown. But they got Marvin Harrison Jr., Maserati Marv. They got the DM from Missouri. I really like what Arizona's brewing down there at Glendale, Arizona, or Phoenix, Arizona, whatever the hell they play.
I agree with you. I mean, you know, first of all, they beat the Cowboys last year. They beat the Eagles.
Mm-hmm.
They went to Pittsburgh and beat the Steelers. They ran the ball very well. The offense line, Paris Johnson, they put a line together. So they had a foundation. And when Kyler came back, look, he threw to Trey McBride. They didn't really have the receivers. So you go get Marvin. Like, that's going to make every fan in Arizona healthy. They think they got, you know, the next Larry Fitzgerald, and he might be better than Larry because he's faster, you know, and he jumps higher than Larry.
Wow.
But so they got their, you know, and Darius Robinson on any board was a first-round pick. He's 6'5". He's 290 pounds. He had a great year at Missouri. You know, Max Melton was a guy that you know, that everybody rated high coming out of Rutgers.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he could start. You know, Trey Benson on some people's charts was the number one running back in this whole draft. You know, at, you know, 200, you know, the fastest he ran at 225 pounds. So him and James Conner at running back. You go through the whole thing here.
Sure.
And, you know, Tip Riman at tight end. I wanted the 49ers to draft him. I thought he was the best blocking tight end in this draft. He's 270 pounds. He runs well.
Wow.
He handled the edge in the Big Ten at Illinois. Dadrian Taylor Demerson was my favorite day three pick at Texas Tech. This guy is... I think he's going to be an elite safety. So, yeah, you can go through the whole thing. Tajon Palmer at UAB. Are you kidding me?
You're giving me a headache right now, Baldy. You're giving me a headache right now, man.
Oh, I did a breakdown on Tajon. It blew up, man. I'm like, you better watch. Don't sleep on this kid now. Don't sleep on this kid. This kid's got talent, man.
Gosh, I love this talk. We'll get to the rest of the NFC West.
Put a bookmark
on the other side.
Yeah, we're
on the
I'm
other
not
side.
Done.
888-957-9570. Ask Baldy anything. He's willing to take your calls right now on the other side on the Morning Roast. 888-957-9570. Ask Baldy anything about the Niners, their draft, their thought process, Brandon Ayuk, Deebo Samuel, all that coming up. We're bringing down the NFC West and their draft. Arizona, they scare me. The Rams scare me. But this division, it's getting tougher and tougher and tougher. But first, before we do all that, let's get to the injury report.
It's time for the injury report.
That really hurts.
Brought to you by Boxer and Gerson, Northern California's premier workers' compensation law firm, helping injured workers get their lives back for over 40 years.
All right, this is a big news in Denver, Colorado, between the Lakers and the Nuggets. Game 5 tonight in the Mile High City. The Lakers do not get swept. They win wire to wire Saturday night. And now... Jamal Murray is now questionable with a left calf strain. When we think calf strains because of Kevin Durant, we think of Achilles. This could not be good for the Denver Nuggets. Murray was seen nursing his calf late in the Nuggets game for a loss to the Lakers, but did not exit the game. The Nuggets did not hint at the severity of the strain, and this is the first time Murray has been listed on the team's injury report in the postseason, but it is something to monitor. Jamal Murray, questionable tonight. Can the Lakers get back into the series? By the way, I see the calls lining up. 888-957-9570. Ask Baldy anything. We're having a lot of fun. That 30 minutes flew by. We got another 30 with Baldy. The injury report brought to you by Boxer and Gerson, Northern California's premier workers' compensation law firm, helping get your workers get their lives back for over 40 years. That's what's coming up with the game. Brought to you by Fremont Bank, full service banking. No compromises. Ask Baldy anything. We're breaking down the NFL draft for the 49ers here on the Roast.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.